And welcome to The Two Dyspraxics. I'm Barbara Neal.
And I'm Matthew Munson.
So, Matthew, on the subject of memory, what do you have to say?
You know, what a great pal you are, Barbara. I've always said that about you. You're a wonderful friend. Memory. I would love to tell you that I've got a lot to say about memory, but I've forgotten it all. That's just my little my little segue into it. No, memory. I have a terrible memory, personally.
Is that in general, or is that long-term, short-term?
A bit of both, really, I think. I can remember a hell of a lot. I can remember things that interest me, I think. If it doesn't interest me, I switch off and it's gone. It leaks out of my head like a sieve. Short-term memory is pretty bad. You know, I'll say to my boy, what are we going to do this next? And then 5 minutes later, I've forgotten I've just said it. And he has to then tell me, Daddy, you said we're going to do this next. And I go, oh, yes, so I did. I'm remarkably inconsistent with things.
Well, actually, suppose something that happened just before we started recording this, which is just typical, really, of my memory, certainly, because we said, right, we made a New Year's resolution, didn't we? And that was to actually do some work on the book that we have finished, basically. It just needs a final edit, and then we'll start hawking it around publishers. Yeah. And I'd completely forgotten that we'd said that. It just popped up in conversation. I was like, oh, crumbs, I've done nothing about that. So that's given me
But isn't that weird, though? I remembered it. A little bit. I remembered a little bit of it that I've been looking on LinkedIn and Twitter for potentially people to contact and talk about. I haven't done a huge amount, but just that. But I can't remember what the last podcast we recorded. It's temporary out of my head what we've been recording before. I suppose I have selective memory. That's what I say to my boy. He has a selective memory. Like, he remembers that he likes chocolate and, you know, playing games and stuff, but he can't remember if I've asked him to go to bed at a certain time every day for the past 2 years.
I've found that my long-term memory in some respects is really good. I can remember minute details of things from many, many years ago, and yet there's something like, I'll go into the classic thing, go into the kitchen, now what did I come in here for, you know, and films and books have got this. So I don't know whether it's a gift or a curse, but I can read a book, I can watch a film, I can completely forget everything about it. And I'm currently reading a book now that I've read before, can't remember a single thing about it from the first time around. So it's literally like starting from scratch.
Yeah.
That's a bit weird. Do you find that, though, with...
I think it's funny. I think there are some comedy films, for example, that I can remember that I could recite half the script to it. Monty Python films, absolutely. Yeah. Life of Brian and Holy Grail, particularly.
Yeah.
A little bit of Meaning of Life, but not as much. And I can absolutely just chunter through it all like I'm just there watching it for the first time, like I remember it all. But then sometimes I was having this conversation again with my son the other day. There was a film on Netflix, and I said, oh, Brian, do you fancy watching this film? And he looked at me as if I was just stupid and said, we've watched that, Daddy, before. And I went, have we? I said, I don't think we have. I flicked it on. 5 minutes in, I started getting this very vague feeling of, oh yeah, that does look a bit familiar. I couldn't remember anything else about it, though. Brian didn't want to watch it with me, so I ended up watching it again it was a kid's film. I ended up watching it by myself later, just so that I could say I can. But now I can't remember anything about it.
It's so weird, isn't it? And there's somebody who I've been in contact with recently, who I haven't seen for a long, long time, and we're great friends, and he lives in Germany, and we've said, right, we can do video calls now, so we'll do that after so many years. And he said, oh, do you remember, and told me about this occasion where because his former girlfriend was someone I shared a house with. So we all got together, you know, and we were, there's lots of tomfoolery and stuff. And he remembered the details and said, do you remember that time? I couldn't remember a single thing about it.
Really?
Things, bits of conversations that we'd had in the past that I could recall with no problem. So it's really strange.
I know for me, I can always remember one occasion I was meant to be interviewing, this was years ago, Satnam Sangera, who's sort of a journalist and a writer and all sorts of different, a literary figure. He'd come down to Margate for a literary festival that had been held down here. And so I was asked to be one of the interviewers. So I did sort of a 10-minute slot or something, and I was introducing him. So because Satnam Sangera, it's a sort of a name out of the ordinary of out of the ordinary experiences of me, you know. I spent a lot of time rehearsing it, preparing to introduce him properly. It was to camera as well, I was interviewing him on camera. Ooh. Yeah. And we get to it, and I've just been introduced to him, and I freeze and I forget his name.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. And do you know what? He couldn't have been more delightful if he tried. He was the most gracious human being in that sense I've ever had the fortune to interview, because he burst out laughing. You could see that, and I was uncomfortable because clearly I'd just forgotten his name because it's an unusual pronunciation.
Yeah.
And I was nervous about saying it because I wanted to do a good job, because he's quite a big literary figure in this particular realm. And he could clearly see I was uncomfortable and embarrassed and awkward and all the rest of it. And he just burst out laughing, not in a nasty way. And he just said, Matthew's one of many people who struggles with my name. My name is Satnam Sangera. And I then said it and said it perfectly. And he went, there you go. Round of applause, please. There's this video somewhere of his applause. And then he then handed the interview back to me, because he's sort of taking charge for a moment, and then we carried on as if nothing happened. And I mean, I think I apologised about a million times after the interview had happened. And I say he couldn't have been more gracious if he tried, but that was where I was making a mistake as well. But so mortified by my memory, because I knew my memory wasn't great. I spent so much time working on this because it was so important. I wanted him to feel welcome. Being able to pronounce the person's name is one of the basic things you can do to make someone feel welcome at a literary festival in a room full of people.
Yes.
And I will never forget that to the day I die, you know. And you see where it was on camera. it was being streamed. I'm just like, oh, God.
Oh, yeah. It's so weird, though. I don't understand how some things you can remember vividly and other things just completely go. And yeah. Something that my mum likes to do a lot, so I blame her, is watching old episodes, that's the word I was looking for, of the soaps, Coronation Street, Emmerdale. She watches those in the afternoons.
Right.
And they're from about 20-odd years ago.
Wow. So
there are certain things, and she said, no, I don't remember her, you know. And it can be somebody who's obviously had a long run in this soap and don't remember them at all, and yet there's one incident that you can remember clearly. So why is that? You know, these things just pop up and I think, that's not how I remember it at all. And yeah. actually that reminds me of something that it can be a bit devastating, because people tend to rely on eyewitnesses, I think, too much. Because there was an occasion when I was in a chip shop, and there's a road, it was on a main road, so just outside, while I was in the chip shop, we saw, those of us who were in there, there was a car that just bumped the back of another car right outside the chip shop. And people started talking about it, and they said, oh, did you see that? And we got two completely different accounts of what had just happened.
Really?
Yeah, completely different. So one of them made it one driver's fault, and the other one made it the other driver's fault. So that was two eyewitnesses. So if people say, well, you know, it's an eyewitness account, so it has to be true, you have to be a bit careful, because they'd seen it in different ways. They had their own perception on what had happened, probably filled in a few gaps as well, you know, they, because sorry, I'm aware that I'm rambling a bit now, but
no, I know what you mean.
But recently I've started painting and I really enjoy painting. And that's pictures as opposed to walls. But but the pictures, the thing I really like about it is I can just put a few splodges of paint on a canvas and it ends up, your brain kind of fills in all the gaps and makes it into something. So I put, the first one I did, which, you know, I was quite pleased with actually, it's an owl by moonlight, an owl sitting on a branch.
Wow.
But there's trees in the distance, but they're not trees. They're literally, I just had the paintbrush and just did a few stripes and that's it. Yeah, but they are trees now, and they were, it's just they're just literally lines on a canvas. But when you look at the picture, your brain fills in all the gaps and turns it into something else. Yes, so I think that's what can happen in a situation like that eyewitness account, where, you know, somebody saw what happened and manifested maybe a story around it. You know, I don't mean consciously. I mean, you know, they're not sort of right, I'm going to make up. It's obviously their fault. I don't mean like that. On a subconscious level, their mind probably made up this story and filled in a few gaps that possibly weren't even there. So there were two totally different accounts of the same accident from the same or very, very similar vantage point.
That's, I mean, strange, obviously
it was slightly different, but yeah, it just goes to show that that memory and eyewitness accounts aren't necessarily reliable. Well, they're not. They're not.
No, they're not. I think that's it, whether you've got a good memory or not, I think that's going to impact just everything about everything that's ever happened.
Yeah.
ever. That's really difficult, I think. I struggle with things like that. I struggle with concepts like that because I've got such a bad memory. I do start doubting myself if I've remembered something and I'm talking about something. I think, is that right? Have I just fused two incidents together or three incidents together?
Yeah.
I don't often reminisce about things just in general. I'm not nostalgic because I'm often worried about getting it wrong or right, you know, just completely misinterpreting or misremembering something from even 5 minutes, 5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Funny enough, but I'm the opposite because I'm very nostalgic.
Oh, really?
Quite a lot. But who knows? I mean, the way I'm remembering things may not necessarily be exactly the way it happened. It's possible. But I do find that there are some things my memory is really sharp and I can feel... I can feel the sort of atmosphere of the time and things like that. Mm. And there's one occasion I can think of when my two older lads were small and I took them on a boat trip. And I can remember exactly what each of us was wearing on that occasion.
Wow.
But there's no reason why I need to remember that. I don't
need
to remember it. But it's still there. And yet something important, maybe that's why, maybe if it feels unimportant, maybe there's less pressure on us to remember it.
Possible.
It's easier.
Do you ever remember thing, or does anything ever come up in your memory that in your memory in your dreams that you then remember? So for example, for me, I don't often dream about the past, but I think that must be only a couple of weeks ago I had this massively vivid dream about my grandmother. And my grandmother died when I was 17, so what's that, 23 years ago that she died. And I was very close to my grandmother. I don't know why, but I never dream about her. I don't consciously want to or not want to. I just never dream about her. But a couple of weeks ago, I had this massively vivid dream memory about my grandmother, about something, just a random incident that happened when I was a child. Nothing particularly stunning, but you know, I was staying there over the summer one year. I dreamt about this, remembered this time in my dream about being there and doing the shopping with my nan. And it was so vivid. I'll say I was fast asleep at the time. And I thought, where's that come from? I haven't thought about that memory probably since it happened. Not deliberately, but I haven't. And suddenly it's come out.
So when you had your dream, then did you revisit something that had actually happened?
Yeah, it was a genuinely real occasion.
Right.
Now, it possibly, when I thought about it afterwards, and I talked about it the following day, I think a couple of moments of that memory had probably changed a bit in the context of the dream. Because, you know, memory does play a bit of tricks in this. And I think my mind transposed a couple of incidents from another occasion, but 90% of it was entirely accurate and real. And yeah. I hadn't been thinking about my nan. I hadn't been talking about my nan. There'd been no particular incident that happened that made me sort of hark back to that time. It just came up.
Well, I think dreams are fascinating, though, because sometimes they can be really factual and quite mundane, and sometimes they can be so bizarre it's unbelievable. Because I had a dream. Well, I think I probably dream every night, but I just don't remember it. But I found that if I wake up early and I go back to sleep, that's when I'm most likely to have a dream I can remember. And the other morning, it was early hours of the morning, and I'd gone back to sleep, and I dreamt that we've got an old pirate's glass measuring jug that I use pretty much every morning when I make my porridge. And I dreamt I'd just washed that up and I was drying it with a tea towel. So I was dreaming about that. And that is so mundane and so ordinary. But on the other hand, I've had some incredibly bizarre dreams, you know, where things that really couldn't possibly happen in real life, so to speak, can happen in a dream.
Oh, I dreamed last night that a version of my son from a parallel dimension had come through to this dimension. This is true. His entire world had been ravaged by. It's true that I dreamed it. It's not true that it really happened. And he'd come from his other dimension. His world had been ravaged by nuclear war, and he'd come through to our dimension to find this dimension's version of his dad. So I ended up raising my own boy and this duplicate version, and pretending they were twins, and lying to everyone saying they're twins, and putting him into school. And that was my dream last night.
Well, you know what that is, don't you? That's a forthcoming novel.
Actually, that's
a pretty good idea.
Not a bad idea, actually, Barbara.
That's really the purpose of that dream. But hey, I'm ruining the plot.
Could be something in that.
Yeah, do it. Go for it, because it's a really good plot. So, I'll think about that. Yeah, excuse me. So I was thinking also, when you were talking about the dream that you had about your nan, just it wasn't very long after my dad had passed away, and I dreamt that I was just chatting with him. We were on the Isle of Wight. He loved the Isle of Wight. That my mum and dad used to go there on holiday from time to time. And so he was on the Isle of Wight, clearly in holiday mode, because he was wearing shorts and a T-shirt, you know, and sandals. And we were in... There's a cafe which is near one of the ferry ports, or the ferry port. I can't remember how many ride. I think it must have been.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, probably. I can't remember now, but we were in a cafe near there, and I was chatting away to him. He was just standing and leaning against some stacked up tables, and we were just chatting away, just having a normal conversation. And then it suddenly occurred to me, but he's gone. And I'm here talking to him, and his eyes, he had this way, he used to play jokes on people a lot, you know, and then just tell them something that was blatantly untrue. And then his eyes would crinkle because it amused him, and he was stifling the laughter, you know. And so when I suddenly realised, but he's gone, you know, and I'm here and I'm talking to him, and his eyes crinkled, which said to me, oh, she's cottoned on. She realized.
Oh.
And that was such a lovely, comforting dream. It was really nice. I really appreciated that.
I don't know if you've ever had this, especially in a situation like that. Have you ever then misremembered a dream as reality? And I'm not necessarily talking about, you know, a dream where you were talking to your dad. You asked clearly he'd left you,
yeah.
Or, you know, me talking to a a parallel universe dimension of Brian, because clearly that's clearly the likelihood of that happening is less than zero. But I don't know, I don't think I have, but I can't be sure whether you've ever misremembered a dream as a real life event, or are your dreams all so bizarre that of course they couldn't be.
Well, to be slightly facetious about this, the dream I had about drying the measuring jug on a tea towel, that doesn't usually happen because I just put it in the dishwasher normally. So, but that's not what you meant, is it? I know that really.
Not really, no. I can't say I'm asking, and I don't think that's genuinely ever happened to me, but...
But how would we know?
How would we know?
We would.
Yeah, true. Yeah, how would we know that we haven't... Yeah, like I'm having to be really careful. I'm thinking about this memory I'm now reflecting on the dream I had about my nan, and the memory, it was a memory dream, but I'm now having to be conscious of picking out the couple of bits that happened on a different occasion and not confusing them but happening on the same occasion, because my dream has kind of merged these two things together.
Right.
And I have to make sure that I don't then merge those two things together in my real life memory. I don't know.
An interesting concept. Do you know something else I'm fascinated by, and that's flashbacks? Have you ever had an actual flashback as opposed to a memory? It's because I don't think I ever had until several years ago, when it was my granddad, actually. It's amazing. Our grandparents make quite an impression on us, don't they? And
they do.
But my granddad, bless him, when he was like, he passed away when I was eight. I just had my eighth birthday. On a slight aside here, I went bounding. He was in bed. He was very poorly. He passed away just after my birthday. But I went bounding and said, Granddad, it's my birthday. And I was really excited as an eight-year-old. So I remember vividly him looking at my dad and looking worried and saying, oh, I haven't. And my dad saying, that's okay. Mum has, you know, my nan had sorted me out with card and present and stuff. So I remember that exchange between them. And but he wasn't happy with that, my granddad. So he gave me a little box of snuff.
Was this your eighth birthday?
My eighth birthday. So that's very precious, though, because it was all he had. It was all he could give. So
yeah,
you know. So that memory is really precious to me. But he, before he passed away, he'd had his leg amputated. And we went to see him in hospital, and he was sitting in a chair, and I remember his dressing gown, and he was in a sort of day room when my mum and dad and my brother and I went to see him. And I had a flashback. This was just out of the blue, really, just a few years ago. And what made the difference between that and a memory of going to see him was that everything was vivid, as though I was there. I was the same height I would have been. I was probably about 6 or 7 at that time when we went to visit him. And so I was the height, I saw everything from the height I would have been. I could smell the disinfectant in the hospital. I could see the polished floor, and it was as though I was really there. It was a lot more vivid than just an ordinary memory. And it was the height thing that really stayed with me, because I think if I remember things that happened when I was a child, I don't normally remember them from the right vantage point, if that makes sense.
No, I know what you mean. I think, I don't know if you get this, it's probably related to that to a degree, although not as intense as I think what you experienced, but like a smell or a sound evokes a particular memory. You know, I know it sounds daft. It's not a vivid memory like you're talking about there with a flashback, but for me, if I ever smell lavender, I get a memory of my other grandmother's what do you call it? like a woman's hanky that she used to put a couple of drops of lavender on to go to sleep, and then after she died, when I was about 11 or 12, I got the hanky, And so I used to have this smell of lavender all the time. Mm. So on the occasions I smell lavender, it takes me back to, it's not a specific memory, but it's a series of contented moments, maybe, where my grandmother had this thing, she gave it to me, I had it, it was a lovely, it's a maybe it's more of a memory of contentment and a series of just moments.
Yeah, that's really nice, isn't it? And yeah, you're right about particular aromas and sounds and things being evocative of certain things, because the smell of a privet hedge is very distinctive. And it takes me right back to when I used to go to my grandparents. It's actually the house where I was born. And both sets of my grandparents lived next door to each other, which was really handy. And because my dad literally married the girl next door. And so we used to go and visit both lots of grandparents. So very handy at the time. But when we walked around, because it's quite a strange arrangement, really, where my paternal grandparents lived. And where I was born, because there were a couple of big gates that we used to go through, and there would be a passageway that we'd go around and then go around to the back of the house, because there was a co-op in front of the house and my grandparents lived at the back and upstairs. So as you walked around, you got through the passageway and there was the privet hedge. So it just, oh yes, you know, that just takes me straight back. And carbolic soap. I love carbolic soap. You probably don't know what that is, do you?
I've heard of it. I remember people talking. I know people talk. I think you may have mentioned it before, but I've never smelt the smell, I have to be honest.
Right. Well, it's a big lump of dark pink soap. So it'd be like a chunk of soap. It was like that. It's actually quite trendy now to buy big chunks of soap. But carbolic, that was how it used to be back in the olden days when I was little. And my nan used to use carbolic soap a lot. So the smell of carbolic soap is really quite evocative for me as well. Right. So, yeah, smells very, very important and evocative. And music as well, different pieces.
Yeah, music. Yeah, music, huge. So do you have more memories of... I'm asking sort of generically rather than asking you to be specific at all, but do you have more positive memories of events in the past, or like sad memories or negative memories? Let me ask you. So, for example, I can remember where I was when I learnt that my grandparents had died, for example, which some people might say is negative, but actually I take it as a positive thing, because I can remember the love I felt being looked after by my parents when that happened when I was a child. You know, I didn't know whether you have a certain type of easier recall.
I think generally my memories tend to be happy ones, you know, very contented. I had a great upbringing, really. I mean, school was horrible, but but my parents were amazing. My grandparents were amazing. I was really blessed with the family I was born into. So contentment all round, really. But sometimes, you know, certain things make me feel a little bit sad. Not sad, more kind of whimsical, I suppose. You know, when I look back on things, and you know, like when the boys were small and now they're all grown up, they're all men. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so there were some lovely, happy times, you know, and in a way it's a little bit sad that I can't still, well, I can because I can just remember them, you know, but I can't really appreciate all that because it was such a lovely time.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I guess that's where the nostalgia comes in a way, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, definitely. I'm very nostalgic and I do reminisce an awful lot, actually, because I like it. It's nice.
Yeah, it has its positives, doesn't it? It really does.
But as far as... I was going to say something terrible. I was going to say, as far as dying grandparents are concerned, because I've lost all four of mine now. I actually knew one of my great grandparents very well because she passed away when I was 13, 14.
My goodness.
Very well. So that was a great grandparent. That was my mum's grandmother, paternal.
Wow.
So that was quite strange, really, because both of my paternal grandparents have passed away by the time Gran did. But now there's something which was an odd experience I had when my paternal grandmother passed away. She was my first hero. She was just amazing. She was kind. She was funny. you know, she was just the most incredible person and made a massive impression on not just me, but I think most people who knew her. Mm. And but when she passed away, I had a strange, it was a dream to start with on that night. And I dreamt that I could see a portrait of my granddad, and he was surrounded by golden stars. And then I saw a portrait of my nan that was down, you know, if you can imagine a frame, it wasn't a frame, obviously, but his portrait was up at the top of the picture. Wow. And surrounded by golden stars. And then there was a portrait of my nan down at the bottom of the picture. And she gradually rose up, her portrait rose up until they were level and they were surrounded by these golden stars. So that was a lovely dream.
Oh, wow.
But then my dad came into my room and said, woke me up and said, right, we have to get up and go to Aylesford, which is where they lived, because Nana's passed away. And then, but the weird thing is, then it happened again for real. So that was kind of like the end of my dream with my dad coming, a sort of premonition type dream where he came in and woke me up, and then it happened for real. And we all had to get up and go over to Aylesford.
Oh, my goodness.
That was the first of many. Oh, I've had all sorts of weird and wonderful experiences, and I've just noticed that we're out of time.
Look at that. Yes.
So on that, I think we could probably carry on with this kind of conversation, actually.
I think we'll have to do a follow-up podcast to this one, Barbara, definitely.
Okay. Consider it done. I'm echoing now, guys, so I think time has come for us to say goodbye to you next time. So it's goodbye from me.
And it's a farewell from me.
Bye.
Bye.